Again and again, the faithful words. Let me join your singing and our singing with a prayer. Father, we come expecting to hear what you are going to say by way of the reading of your word, the proclamation by your servant. Help us to hear what it is you are saying to us today, here and now. This we ask. In the name of him who is revealed in those words, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 90. I've been reflecting on this a little bit, and I'm sure you have at times too. Psalm 90 is fairly familiar, I think, and I think it has something to say to us again this morning, too. And I do so being kind of reflective as I think of what the psalmist here is talking about. That's the Psalm of Moses, that life gets longer. And so it's not a confession, because I say with thankfulness that In 1 month from now, I'm going to turn that scary age of 80. And I don't know about you. Some of you may have passed that already. So you say, what's he talking about? But it kind of scares me a little bit to think, you know, because I was a kind of an interesting youth, you might say, and I never thought I'd live to be 80. And so here I am, almost 80. Now, it can still happen. But 1 month from now, we have four sons and their families, and so four sons and their wives are going to gather with us. We're going to meet in Washington, where one of our sons has a place that we can use for that. And we're going to celebrate and say, thank you, Lord, you've been very faithful. But when you do that, then you become very aware of the passage of time and those things. And that's what I think the psalmist does here, too. And so that's what we are going to look at just a little bit together this morning, too. The psalmist says, let me see. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men and women back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new generation, the new grass in the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but a trouble and sorrow, for they are quickly past, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The word of God. People of God, as we reflect on these kinds of things, passage of time, psalmist says 70 or 80, it's a good thing to take a look at a psalm like Psalm 90. My dad always had us read it whenever we had a birthday. The family devotions would include Psalm 90. I think he always had in mind the idea of, you know, teach us to number our days. Be aware of the fact that we need to have this heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. And the latter, that is this heart of wisdom, this numbering of days, is very applicable as we think of all that's required of us as we live in this world today. As you and I go about our journeying, and as you as a church here, as a group of faithful folks here at, you know, Hamilton Church, as you look forward, or maybe not, also look back, as to how God has been at work and is at work. And so it's very applicable of all these things to look at Psalm 90, because this covers all kinds of things as we look at it here. And as those who are called to give leadership, your elders, your deacons, or whomever it is, and your pastors, they have responsibilities here. It's good to remember that God, as the psalmist here that speaks about it too, is a faithful God. He will be faithful, you know. It speaks, but as he does so, the psalmist is talking particularly about the passage of time. Now, some of us, as I've already indicated, are a little bit more aware of it than others at certain times. And I think when we have birthdays, we particularly stop. That's why my dad, I think, always had us read this. You know, stop to think about it. Because sometimes we're in such a hurry that we're running around doing all kinds of things that we don't stop and reflect as we could or should sometimes, you know. And all of this is being said here in Psalm 90 in relationship to the permanence of God, of the God who was always and is always and always will be. You and I have to keep that in mind no matter, you know, what our age. And we think about that as we reflect on all the things that are happening in our world today. I don't know how complicated your worlds are. I realize mine is not as complicated as it used to be. When I was pastoring, there seemed like all kinds of stuff. Now that I'm retired and have been for a few years, you know, my life is not as complicated. Just recently, I gave up some responsibilities. I was serving as stated clerk and serving as deputy and all that sort of stuff. And when you get close to my age, maybe it's time to pass it on to the younger ones. And so we do that. So we can say, you know, okay. But when all is said and done, and often, as you know, things are more talked about than done, the focus in this psalm for us again this morning, then just for a little while, is on the God who has been faithful, who has been, look at the words, your dwelling place for generations. And as I was reflecting on being with you here this morning, I took a few moments to find out a little bit about, you know, Hamilton Church. I looked it up and I saw that you were formed, came into being as a congregation in 1950, am I correct? So that's almost, I don't know what you're planning for your 75th, but, you know, usually the 75th is a big deal. You know, just recently I was at a church in southern Alberta where I helped out for a while. They were celebrating their 75th also, and they made a big deal about it. They even had former pastors like me come back and say, have a good time with us, you know. And so I don't know what you're planning, but I'm very much aware of the fact that you are almost 75 years old, and so that's a good thing. But the psalmist here is not talking about 75 years. He's talking about a whole lot. He's talking here, as you see the words there, from everlasting to everlasting. Well, when you think about that, from everlasting to everlasting, 75 years isn't that long. But I think it is quite a period, because I know there are at least some of you who are nowhere near that. So, you know, don't worry about that part. But the wording is there that we know we have experienced. As the psalmist talks about it here too, we have had all kinds of experiences. Note, the psalmist says, you turn men and women too, of course, it was always just assumed it was men and women back to dust. And then the psalmist talks about, and 1,000 years are like a day in your sight, God. Well, then if you take 75 years, or let's say the Hamilton Church, and 1,000 years, then 75 years is a very small segment of that, you know. And if a day, you and I say, whoa, the day is gone. When we put our heads on the pillow at night, my wife and I often say, whoa, another day. Where did it all go? Well, if 1,000 years is like that day that just passed, then what is 75 years? It's just like, you know, a little time. It's work out the percentage. And so as the psalmist says here, like the grass that's green in the morning, that's the green morning grass laden with dew, by evening it is dry. Well, think for a moment of the men and women who 75 years ago and started this church. You know, the building wasn't here. This immense building that you have here, it wasn't here. And so they worked hard. They got elders and deacons together and did all the planning and everything that went on. And they served meals and built a new church. Now, let me be really bold. How many of you were here at that time? Would you raise your hand if you were here? 1, 2, 3. Well, you don't look 75 at all. Good for you. You know? Did I miss any? I went all the way over here. So there were some of you were here way back then. Wow. You know? But how many are gone who were there? And the psalmist talks about they're gone, swept away, you know, as the psalmist says, or, you know, at varying ages. At varying age, they didn't all reach 75 or more, or 80. Some died sooner. I'm sure you gathered many a time. You know, this Kleenex box here tells me that you have had a funeral or two here also. That the passage of time also meant the passage of people. They were swept away, as the psalmist uses those words. Swept away may have been due to age, maybe due to illness, or a car accident, or whatever, you know. You know some of them, if not most, a good many of them by name, as you think about that this morning too. A good many of them that used to occupy these pews are gone. And so it may, even my mentioning may bring a tear or a memory or something. And maybe later on today you thought, you know what that preacher said this morning made me think about this. And all of that, you come to think about that. A painful memory for some of you and very fond memories for others of you as you go back and reflect. And that's really what that psalm does here. Psalm 90 is a psalm that makes us go back and look and reflect on what God has been doing in our lives. And as you reflect, it may bring a smile or a tear, both evoking good memories of God's faithfulness in your life. A memory of gratitude, maybe. Yeah, that was good. And you may be grateful for some work that someone did. You may think, I remember so-and-so working hard all the time. As you reflect on God's faithfulness, you know, and now's a good time for me to mention that, because I wasn't sure about Hamilton Church, but your secretary speaks well of you. She says, we may not be large, but we are faithful. So the word faithful comes to mind as I think of you, at least because of what she said. Not that I can go around testifying, because I don't know that much. I mean, what kind of an idiot goes to the wrong church, you know, as I did this morning. For some reason, I had that other church in mind, Oakland, and it came up on our GPS that way. So, but at the same time, as we reflect on those things, we can have a smile and even some thinking of some gratitude, you know, and that's something to celebrate when you look back on that, you know, that God was that faithful. Because the God that you gathered to worship 75 years ago, or almost 75 years ago, is also the God that we gather today, you know, to worship today. And we're reminded of, again and again in Scripture, there are just so many passages of God's faithfulness. And one of our favorite songs, and I'm sure it is that here too at Hamilton Church, is the song of Great is Thy Faithfulness, or Great is Your Faithfulness, O God my Father, for there's no shadow of turn. God is faithful, and that's sometimes we just need to be reminded of that, that God is faithful from now and always will be. He was there when people got together to start this Hamilton Church. They counted on God's faithfulness for the years ahead. And you can, when you gather today for your coffee or dinner hours, you can reflect, God has been faithful. Now I know, and that there are feelings involved in that too. The place is not as filled as it used to be. And I'm not sure of the whys. I haven't researched exactly all of that either, but I think it's for you to reflect upon too. How does God's faithfulness, how has God's faithfulness been reflected here though over the years? And have there been times when we were not quite as faithful? Because we can focus on faithfulness, our faithfulness, but we always do it in relationship to God's faithfulness. And we know He is faithful, although sometimes we may struggle with what form His faithfulness takes, but nevertheless, it's there, you see. He is there, but our own as may not always have been what we would have liked it to have been as we look back on that. As I look back on my own life, my almost 80 years, I say, hey, there were days when you could have done a whole lot better, George, you know. And you reflect on these things. But at the same time, there is a body of believers that here at Hamilton that continued on, determined to be faithful today yet, and now we have to think about what does it mean for us to be faithful tomorrow, you know. As I asked earlier, some of us were alive 75 years ago, you know. There was a group of, I'm sure, determined, hopeful believers that gathered here 75 years ago, you know. And those of you who are 75 or more, you might reflect just for a moment. Like myself, if I look back, where was I 75 years ago? Well, I was a boy of almost five, you know, and living on a street, very small, narrow street, in a city called Zaandam, the Netherlands. Quite a ways over from here. When I look back on what's all happened since then, on God's faithfulness also in my life. Never, when I was 5 years old, if my parents would have asked, you know, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? You know, where do you think you'll be 75 years from now? I never thought I'd be running around in Michigan and, you know, having four married children and 13, 14, 15, because they keep adding, they're getting married now, grandchildren. Never gave that any thought. Never thought I'd end up, first of all, immigrating to Canada with my parents and then, you know, going to school in Calgary, Alberta, and then coming to seminary here. And no, I would have never thought it. But yet God was at work there in my life as God was in the life of this Hamilton Church, faithful to you and to one another here. And so a lot of life has taken place. There have been changes, some for the good, some not so good. There have been hurts, there have been birthdays and deaths and more. But throughout it all, we can say the words of the psalmist, God has remained the same. He has been there for us. We may, as you reflect on it, we may say what Moses says here too, though, in this psalm, consumed by your anger. Now, that doesn't sound so good. So that means that things have not always been quite the way we would have liked, because when you are being consumed by God's anger, you're being dealt with fairly harshly. You see, terrified by God's indignation, often finishing with a moan. At this point, you're saying, hey, Moses, what are you talking about here, this finishing with a moan? And, well, You may fill in the blank on that for yourself, that you say, yeah, there were those days when we were moaning, or we saw someone finish their lives with barely a whisper, you know. It's descriptive of some people more than of others, as you reflect on that. But it applies somehow, I think, to all of us. But not all of the folks here at Hamilton, nor anywhere else, even reached the 75 years. You know that, and I know that, see. Not all of us reached that 80 or 75, and then with, or 70 with strength, and 80 with strength, as the psalmist puts, see, you know. But at the same time, the psalmist says, but not all of us can say, and all of our lives have been toil and trouble and sorrow either, you know. So we can look back and we say, each of us, we have experienced a lot of life. And if we were to sit together afterwards, and if I were to ask you and say, tell me a highlight of your life. And maybe even at the same time say, okay, let's share some of our low points. How low were they, and what was God accomplishing in and through it all? Because, you know, the moment I even use that phrase, through it all, remember that old song? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, right? You know those words too, right? And so it was not all toil and trouble, but we can look back and we've experienced a lot of life, a lot of joy and more, you know? For God has been dealing individually with each of us, you see, that we don't always recognize it as such. But he has been, and that's what the psalmist is talking about here too. We may not always recognize it, and we maybe sometimes even refuse to see it, or we don't want to see it, what God has been doing. But all of it just adds up to the fact that God is the source of life, we know that, and he is also in control of it and in control of death, whatever. Kind of cool today to talk about death. You know, we should be able to talk, and we should be able to talk about that. If anybody can talk about death, it should be those of us who believe in the faithfulness of God, who believe that it is in God's hands ultimately, you see. Because no matter how much conversation you have one way or the other, the bottom line is, and that's what the psalmist is saying here, he, that is God, remains God. And we need that reminder every so often. I do, and I think you do too, that we need that reminder that there is a brevity to life, even when it's painful sometime, or when it's joyful. But there are accidents, there are drownings, there is cancer of the loved ones, and all of that. Yeah. But in the meantime, we can rejoice. When there's a loving marriage, when there is a faithfulness, when we see the faithfulness of couples that are examples to us, then we see that God is at work, and we hold fast to that because we declare then with the psalmist, with Moses, God is in control. It is our Father's world. There are times when his anger, Psalms talks about that. His anger convinces us, convicts us, maybe a better word than convinces, convicts us of our wrongdoings. That he does get indignant at times when we pretend to be what we really aren't. Then we are called to reflect on God's being indignant. He doesn't tolerate that. And when we pretend to be something we're not, or we hide behind hollow words. You know what I mean by hollow words? Words that really don't have meaning because we don't mean them, you see. And he knows the secrets of our heart. That's what the psalmist is talking about too. He knows. So don't try to pretend anything different. Even secrets of certain things that you try to keep secret, he knows anyway. Yeah. The God of Psalm 90 is the God of Hamilton CRC. It's all there's to it. That's the bottom line. And he is an everlasting God. He's not the one we have designed to be according to what we think he should be. No, he is the God who he reveals himself to be, you see. And he's not the God whom we say, well, Lord, bless whatever we think we want to have blessed. No, he blesses what warrants his blessing, and he does what he thinks needs doing. And so we reflect on God's dealings here. That's what the most. If you go back home today and reread this psalm, you just simply cannot read it without reflecting on, hey, what has God been doing in our lives, in my life, you know? And then maybe you can come to the words there of verse 12 of the psalm. Teach us, Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may have a heart of wisdom. That is, as we look at our days, as long as we live, help us to look at that in such a way that we may be wise about the days that you've given us. I'm not always sure what a heart of wisdom means, right? So I entitled this message, Heart of Wisdom from a Faithful God. What does it really mean to have a heart of wisdom? Well, I do believe it includes an awareness of our mortality. The fact is that we live and that we die, as well as a sense of accountability, that we account to someone. It's just not a matter of that we're on this earth a while and we live a certain number of days and then we're gone and it's over. No, there's an accountability also. The kind of accountability that comes also in what you have confessed, what you and I have confessed for many years in the words of Catechism Q&A 1. Where do I find my comfort? Where do I find my sense of assurance of life and in death? Right? That's how the question goes. What is my only, what's really the one thing I can hold on to in life and in death? And the answer, you'll know, and if not, high time you did learn it, is that I am not my own, but that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's that sense of holding on. That's a sense of meaning, a sense of comfort. For when someone, or you or I, when we reach 75 plus years of age, then there's got to be a sense of that we have experienced life somewhat in relationship, in a vertical relationship that we have with God, as well as the one that we have with each other in a horizontal relationship, that we may have a heart of wisdom. That is, now, a heart is not that organ that your doctor may be checking you out, or you say you take some kind of pill to make sure, you know, that whatever that's called. No, it's not the physical heart, but it's your way of looking at life. It's this, when the scriptures talk about your heart, it's talking about the very center of your being. That is who you are, from which you make the kind of decisions that you're called to make, right and wrong, hopefully the right ones. You see, that's a heart of wisdom. It's you at your core, making the decisions that you need to make, kind of decisions that the leadership of a church needs to have, a pastor needs to have, but also for each of us in our individual lives, that we have some sense of who we are and whom we serve, where we're going, and why we're doing so, you see. Makes me think when I was serving the first church as a pastor way back there in British Columbia, I was about 35 years old. I had an elder there that we would have a long discussion in our council meeting. It was about 12 of us sitting around the table and sitting around these chairs, these cheap old chairs. Remember those little plywood chairs where that just had a little tubing? And old Schauker was his name, would take his chair and lean back after we'd had a long discussion. And I thought, well, yeah, we've made a good decision here. And then he would ask, he says, I know that we think this is right, but is it wise? And sometimes those two may not quite be the same. I think, at least that's what I've learned, particularly, although at the time I got pretty frustrated and said, oh, Schauke, why don't you be quiet? Right? Wise. Are they always the same? I'll let you think about that a little bit as I reflect on that more and more too. For a heart of wisdom, you know, is one that we need to have if we're going to exercise the kind of leadership that we're called to lead in church and in our homes, in our communities, in our nation. Certainly there's a great need for it, I think, in our country right now as we try to discern. For some of us, it may not be as difficult as for others to discern as to whom to vote for. Whom do we support? Whom do we believe? It needs a lot of discernment. A heart of wisdom will be discerning, saying, okay, what's truth? What's not truth? What's right? What's wrong? You know, to be fully aware in the present of where we are and who we are and whom we're called to be, you know. And then venturing faithfully forward, not afraid to go forward, but doing so confident, as the psalmist is, of God's care in our lives, you see. Knowing that God is faithful. And as he proved to Moses, and that's why praying with Moses, verse 13, have compassion on your servants as we pray the words of Psalm 90. Have compassion on your servants, O Lord, because we're struggling sometimes. We're not quite sure what to do. What is the right thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? When those two are not quite the same, or they don't appear to be the same, help us to be discerning is a word. To take time to discern through it all. But then there are also, let's make sure we read all of the psalm, there are words here too. Make us glad, and may your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. Because that's your desire too here at Hamilton. That your faithfulness is shown to your children and to your grandchildren in what you say and in what you do. For you and I, we have no idea how many more years that God is going to grant us. But he does reveal himself to do. For we need to pray the words that we have here. May the favor of our Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands. But we can only ask God to establish that when we have tried to be discerning with a heart of wisdom as to what is the right work of our hands, the things that we say and the things that we do. Don't think of it just as what you do literally with your hands, but what you do and what you say. And in a world today, you know, the latter seems a little bit more important almost, isn't it? The words that we're saying in a world that we're finding it more and more difficult to discern what is the truth? Who is telling the truth, you see? And then we can pray the words of the psalmist here to make us glad. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. For we have no idea. We have no idea as to when the Lord will return. How many more days do we have left? We assume we're going to have, we make plans. I mean, I'm making plans to be in Washington a month from now. But things could change rather drastically, you know. And so we need to ask God to show us the way in the midst of it all, you know. And then praying again the words of the psalmist. May the favor of our Lord our God rest upon us. Establish those works of our hands, if they are the right works. If not, don't ask God to establish them. So you have to make sure, again, that it is from a heart that is in tune with God, what he wants and asks of us, you see. And so, as we look forward, whoever we are, whatever age, we can expect to enjoy God's blessings and counting on it, counting on God's presence and his blessing for whatever time each of us had as we're faithful. For the God who has been faithful for 75 years, as we focused on the 75 years of Hamilton, he will continue. He hasn't retired. Many of us here, I think, if I look around, have retired from our regular routines. But God has not. And He still calls on us, because He is as active as He is yet. He calls on us to be faithful where we are and who we are, as He shapes us, as He shapes us so that we can continue to confess what we have for all these years, that we, it's not just I then, let's make sure it's the collective we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, you see. We do so as members or non-members, as families, as friends, so that we may look forward to the day when God will say to you and to me, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Can we ask for anything more? Can you? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to pray the prayer the psalmist prayed. The prayers the psalmist prayed. So different, and yet so much like us. From then, as well as now, grant your blessing on our lives today, that as we sing, make us a blessing, that we may also be a blessing to others. Being blessed, knowing our God, that we may speak wisely with a heart of wisdom and point others to you, to the Christ that we preach. The Christ that's been proclaimed in this church faithfully for all these years. Help us to live for Him and then be able to die in Him. We ask it in His name. Amen.